Okay, so this is How to Lie with Statistics, and we have Jordan, True, Hanif, and Arshel.
We read up to chapter 3.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 1, the sample with built-in bias, where they speak about the topic of Yale men, the class of 1994, and how much they make and how much they really make.
Okay, so what I first, I guess, what caught my attention the most was how the author spoke on how people tell statistically truthful information but purposely leave out things that will skew your opinion in order to reach their outcome or to
the quota.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so what stood out to you guys?
Me personally, I thought like the I understood like that's what they were saying, like, but I found like for the other example, like they were kind of confusing the way they explained like how they like show the basis of the information, but they leave out other things. Like I was kind of confused on like what's a good example? Like when they were talking about
the $25,000 a year.
Like how much?
Not the Yale example. One of the other examples.
The magazine one.
Yeah, the magazine.
Oh,
one.
Okay, the Time magazine.
Yeah, like I was kind of confused on like how they were leaving out like different like aspects of information.
So
yeah, because they were like talking about how like you can't really like tell what people read for the magazines and everything, and then they just like went straight to like the like how. Like the statistics of it, but they didn't really explain like how they figured it out and everything. So.
Like I feel like if they had like specifically like yeah, they might take out this bit of information and this like maybe say like the trend, like maybe like the trend line or line of the residual plot like might go up or like, you know, I feel like that'd have been a bit more easier to understand rather than like them explaining it with like words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's the one example of the presidential elections in 1948 and 1952, where it says were enough to prove that if there were any doubt. For further evidence, go back to 1936 in the Literary Digest, famed Fiasco. Oh yeah. Okay. The 10 million telephone and digest subscribers. So they called people and basically predicted what would happen through the presidential election, and they predicted that Roosevelt would only get 161 while Landon would get 370, and this was false. This didn't happen because we all know Roosevelt did win.
Yeah.
So people who could afford telephones and magazine subscriptions in 1936 were not a cross-section of voters. Economically, they were a special kind of people, a sample bias, because it was loaded. So saying they're trying to figure out who would win and who they're voting for, but they're only calling people who have phones. They're not calling people.
Yeah.
They can't talk to the people who don't have phones, the people who don't read magazines.
Didn't they also do something with, like, maybe, like, for every 20th vote, they'd be like, for every 20th vote, they would add
mm-hmm.
that to, like, their information to judge who would win the election.
Right. Every 20th person met on Market Street is interviewed. So you're walking down the street, and they count out 20, and that the 20th person would be interviewed.
It's like how they control. They control who they want for their, like, test. But, yeah, it's like they can skew who they choose to interview
mm-hmm.
to skew their statistics.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, back to the income, $25,000 a year, a Yale man, but they're only contacting the people who are contacting back. So they're not contacting the whole class. It's just who they can get a
hold
of.
Up. Mm-hmm.
Whereas they were saying that most of the men were making only $5,000 a year, which is a huge difference from $25,000 a year. But the people that they were calling were the ones who were the investment bankers, not the ones who were the drunks or the ones who were just construction workers.
Makes sense, yeah. So, is that all you guys had to, like, thought about chapter one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
All right, so chapter two
is the well-chosen average.
Mm-hmm. So what did you guys think of that?
Okay, so I have a couple of pages for it. This is about the property.
Yeah, the real estate stuff.
The real estate taxes. Having sized up, I take pains to tell you that the average income in this neighborhood was $15,000 a year. So a realtor is telling this to someone who is wanting to buy in the neighborhood that $15,000 a year at that time, oh, this is a nice neighborhood to live in, saying that they were a bit of a snob. And then a year later, we met again as a member of some taxpayers' committee. I am circling a petition to keep the tax rate down or assessments down for the bus fare. After all, the average income in the neighborhood is only $3,500. So $3,500 is a huge difference from the $15,000 that they were saying. The $3,500, I imagine that people whose income is $3,500 live in different houses and keep up their houses differently than those who make $15,000 a year. And the question is, am I lying now or was I lying last year? So you're not sure what's the truth and what's the lie.
Right.
Makes sense. It's like they can manipulate their statistics to get the point across that they want to, even if it's not
entirely true.
It's like they should only show you part of the story. Yeah. So it's not like it's lying with statistics.
Right.
Because it's technically true.
Right. So and then there's the example of the average height of a man in some group is only 5 feet. And then you don't have to ask whether the average is the mean, the median, or the mode. So, like, if the average is 5 feet, what's the median? What's in the middle? And what's the most occurring number, which would be the mode? And if you are in the business of manufacturing overalls, you need to know what's the mean, the median, and the mode. And most definitely, you need to know what is the true average.
Because it's like, so the median gives you the exact middle. Like, that gives you what's... in like your middle number basically, and the mean doesn't tell you the whole story. The mean, it gives you an average, but there could be a lot of outliers. So it could skew their statistics. Mm-hmm.
The way I see it is like you can't really have a complete data set without like a mean, median, like mode, because you might want to take like. Even if you have the average, like you said, that's not complete. And if you have like you might have an average of like maybe I'm gonna just say 5 feet, but maybe the most frequently occurring number is like maybe 5'5" or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes sense, Trey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you know they could use like a mean, median, or mode, like to drive whatever they're trying to say. Like they could say, oh, because the height seen most often is 5'4", you have to be people who typically 5'4", this happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it's not telling like the whole story. They're saying, say the most often occurring number is 5'4". Like you said, the height, like the median could be, no, the mean, so the average could be like 5 foot. Then it just can, like, they can use one thing to portray a story when it's something more than that. Yeah. It's like a bigger story than what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. It says, if you draw a curve to represent, if you get something shaped like a bell, a mean, median, and mode fall at the same point. Yeah. So that's exactly. Okay. So, what's the other one? Okay, so it's talking about the list annual incomes of all families in a given city. You might find that they range from not perhaps $50,000 or so, and you might find a few larger ones. More than 95% of the incomes would be under $10,000, putting them way toward the left-hand side of the curve instead of being symmetrical like a bell. So, talking about like the people at the top, and then you have the outliers at the bottom. So like if people are averaging $50,000, but then there's still people who are making $10,000, and still people who are making more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it says the mean would be quite a distance from the median. You can see what this would do to the if it is true, and the comparison made between the average mean, the 1 year average median, and another. So it's still talking about in the neighborhood where I sold you a property, and the two averages were particularly far apart because the distribution is marked skewed. It happens that most of your neighbors are small farmers or wage earners employed in a nearby village. So we were promised this $15,000 neighborhood, and we got a $1,000 neighborhood of people who work in the farm and people who work. It makes you think, like, when you go and buy a house or you go and buy a new car, like, how much you're being told and how much you're being lied to.
Yeah.
Or it's not even being lied to. It's just how much you aren't being told.
Yeah.
Because they tell you what they want to tell you to drive that so.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like, here's the amount for the car, but then you got to pay so how much for gas, so much for insurance, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, the ticket price, but then, like, that price doesn't come with the radio, and it doesn't come with the air conditioning, and it doesn't come with the steering wheel. You have to add all that in.
Or wheels.
You can't drive off the lot, like, without insurance.
Right.
So that's, like, another $300-$400.
Mm-hmm.
And the prices go up by years, too, with the houses and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
most definitely. The property value, so, like, they were saying if someone moves in the neighborhood and they make $1 million and they renovate their house, then everybody else will be looked at, but they're renovating their house to a $1 million house, but they're still living amongst other houses that are only worth $200,000. What are you really getting for your money? And is that a neighborhood that you want to move in, even though there's one house?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It says that's why when you read an announcement by a corporation executive or business, that the average pay of people who work in his establishment is so much, the figure may mean something, and it may not. If the average is a median, you can learn something significant from it. Half the employees make more than that, half make less. But if it is the mean and you believe it may be that it's the nature of unspecified, you may be getting nothing more revealing than an average of $45,000 income, and the proprietors and the salaries of the crew underpay workers average only $5,700.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, does anybody else have anything to say about chapter 2?
No.
And we ended it at chapter 3.
Yeah. Chapter 3 was the last one.
So it's sort of reiterating the same thing over and over again about how much you can lie and how much you can cover up things when you don't want the real information to skew people's decisions.
Yeah. I wouldn't even say it's really lying at this point. It's really just like you said, like covering up information.
Or what is that phrase called? Not withholding the truth, but I forget it. Never mind. But yeah. So this was a nice discussion, you guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
The end.